In 2022, Time Magazine listed today's guest as one of the 100 most influential people in the world. And they were right about that. Mississippi Attorney General Lynn Fitch is absolutely amazing. I cannot wait for you to hear her story. She played a leading role in overturning Roe v. Wade, the devastating Supreme Court decision that legalized abortion nationally. We are going to hear her incredible story next. Welcome to the Moms for America podcast. Each week, special guests tackle the issues facing the moms of America today. Discussions include personal stories and advice on how moms can build a strong foundation of faith, family, and freedom in their homes and country. Hi, moms. I'm Debbie Krulitis, your host, and welcome once again to the podcast here. We're so glad to have you. Right here at the top of the show, along with my big welcome, I want to invite everyone to please like and subscribe to the podcast. Share this with your mama friends. This is how we get the word out. So please go ahead and do that. Also, if you are joining us for the first time here, join the movement here at Moms for America. Hopefully you are a part of our sisterhood. We are moms uniting all across the country, fighting for faith, family, and freedom, and the Constitution. So please check us out at momsforamerica.us. Visit our website, get involved, sign up for the newsletter. We are just so glad to have you here, moms. Also, if you have an idea for our podcast, a topic, any kind of information for us to share, please email me at podcast@momsforamerica.net. I would absolutely love to hear from you. We appreciate hearing all that feedback. Alrighty, well, on to today's program. Lynn Fitch recently won her second term as Mississippi's 40th Attorney General. She is the first female and mother, I'm going to say grandmother too, in that role. Her profile was raised to a national level, you might have heard of her, when the Supreme Court took up the case of Dobbs versus the Jackson Women's Health Organization. Thomas Dobbs was the state health officer of Mississippi. And in brief, it led to the landmark decision by the U.S. Supreme Court in which the court held that the Constitution of the United States does not confer a right to an abortion. We are very honored to have Attorney General Lynn Fitch with us today. This is going to be amazing. Well, welcome, Attorney General Lynn Fitch, to the Moms for America podcast. We're so glad to have you.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be with you today. Thank you for the invitation.
Well, we know how busy you are, but before we get chatting, how should I address you? Should I, Attorney General Lynn, what's your preference?
Oh, whatever works best for you. I'm very easy. A lot of people will say, General Fitch, Lynn is fine, whatever works perfect.
I like General Fitch. That's really great. I love that.
Okay. I can't get my children to call me that, but right?
Exactly. You know how that goes. A prophet has no honor in their home. I'm just joking. No. Oh, good. Well, thank you so much. Let's just start out with a little bit about you as a mom and your family. General, love to hear about your tribe.
Oh, well, I am so blessed by my family. I have three beautiful grown children, two daughters, two wonderful son-in-laws, a son and soon-to-be daughter-in-law. And the most exciting part is I have four grandchildren. And yeah, that's so fun because they love us unconditionally. I've got three grandsons and the newest one is a little girl. So we call her the princess.
Oh, I heard being grandma is the best thing ever. I'm not there yet, but I heard it's just amazing. So I heard
it
this
really
from everybody.
And they call me, I did not want a grandmother.
Yeah, what do they call you?
So they call me Ellie. Oh. Ellie. So that's fun.
How cute is that? How did that, where did that come from?
Well, it kind of sounded like L was my initial and we just said Ellie. And so it works out perfect.
I love that. Yeah, that's always the big question. What are the grandkids going to call you? I always joke. I'm like, when it happens, I'm going to be Grammy. I don't know. Yeah. We'll see.
Well, I always tell my friends, I said, you know, really kind of pick your name too, because, you know, that way you can get what you want and it's fun for them. And so I laugh because now even my grown children will say, hey, Ellie, they call me Ellie sometimes too.
Oh, that's so cute. All right. Well, let's get to the business here. I want to hear about your journey. We're going to get to the things. You've got an incredible story to tell. So tell us a little bit about how you became Attorney General of Mississippi, what that journey was like. I'm sure, you know, one day you didn't say, hey, I'm going to be the Attorney General of Mississippi. But obviously that door opened up and that's what God called you in your journey. So how did this happen?
Well, it certainly God plots out our path and we have no idea where we're going. You just have to have faith that he's going to have you at the right place at the right time where he wants you to serve. I was just so fortunate and so blessed. I actually started my career at the Attorney General's office. So my first 5 years of practice were in this office and I loved every minute of it. And it was just an incredible time to serve and be as a special assistant attorney general. I'm always a big believer in having friends and broadening your circle of influence. And so I just enjoyed getting to know people in those 5 years. And then I had the opportunity to work at the House of Representatives as legal counsel. Again, I had worked on things here in the AG's office, and then I was able to be the draft person there at the legislature. So continuing to expand the knowledge base in that regard. I went into private practice and enjoyed that for a number of years as well. Again, and having the people that you know and you trust. And I tell people all the time, it's always about relationships, mm-hmm. your friendships, and the trust factor. And so I had the opportunity, my chairman, who was the newly appointed chief of staff for Governor Barbour, they called and offered me a job to come back into state service. They said, you know, your heart is serving. And I said, okay, just I'm coming. Where do I need to go? And so had the opportunity to serve in different capacities for Governor Barbour as the Department of Employment Security, which was all about employment for people in the state of Mississippi. And that was really incredible. Working with the workforce, how do we get them prepared? How do we change the dynamics for what is mm-hmm. needed in the state for us at that particular time through the years? How did we move electronic? So I enjoyed that. I served as a deputy there. And then Governor Barbour appointed me to be the executive director of the state personnel board, which is like being the HR director for 32,000 people.
Small feat.
Yeah. Wow. Again, it was an incredible experience for me. And in my time at the Attorney General's office, I had served in the capacity of representing like the treasurer's office, the state bond commission, the Department mm-hmm. of Finance and Administration, banking, all the finance type of organizations for state government. And then I did that as well in some private practice capacity as a bond lawyer. So when the treasurer's position opened up, I said, you know what, I think I'm ready. I know this office. I represented the treasurer's office. So I ran and was so fortunate to serve for two terms as the state treasurer. Then the attorney general's office opened up and now I had been a client of the AG's office for eight wow. years. So it was very helpful for me because I'd seen it from all sides in sure. this office. And then so just so blessed, so honored that I get to serve as the Attorney General of the great state of Mississippi with an incredible team. And I have an amazing team, people from all over work in this office and they do it with such a servant's heart.
Wow, what an incredible journey. And then to be used in so mightily, I should say. But before we get to that part of the story, I do want to mention in 2022, you were named Time Magazine's 100 Most Influential People. What did that mean to you personally? I mean, what an incredible recognition.
Oh, it was just amazing. Again, so humbling, such an honor to think that the work that myself and the team were able to do that really hit a global stride. So it just incredible honor. Yeah. I still, when it's still said out loud, I still almost can't believe it. So
yeah. Yeah. Very, very impressive. All right. Well, let's get to some, the bit about this story, which was historic, obviously. And I know that this is kind of this is past, but it's still present, obviously, because this is so important all around our country regarding the life issue. Let's talk about how Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization came about and how you got involved to lead the way in overturning Roe v. Wade. I mean, again, I'm sure you never thought you would be here, that this case would never happen within your scope. And look at this. I mean, look at this, General.
Thank you. Largest case in my lifetime, largest case, so impactful across our country. Certainly it was a God case. When I got here, that case was already at the Fifth Circuit. We certainly discussed all the cases and said, absolutely, we're going to file a petition for cert on this case. Mm-hmm. So we knew immediately that we would try to bring that case up. So we did. And in the meantime, I mean, I had a solicitor general. We never had a solicitor general in this office. So I appointed the first one when I came in. And she was amazing, Christy Johnson. She now serves on the federal bench for the federal court. First woman serving in that capacity in the Southern District. So proud of her. So then it gave me the opportunity to appoint a second solicitor general. Again, knowing that we had a lot of cases, not knowing if this case would ever be brought up, because I think certainly they could have selected any number of cases, hired a rock star young man to join the team. And again, I have a team of rock stars. Right. When I tell you, the incredible people that work in this office is what makes all this happen.
Right.
Hired him to come be the solicitor general. At that time, we didn't have the Dobbs case. So we had pushed it up there. It was reenlisted 22 times.
Oh, wow.
So, okay. So, you know, at that point you think, well, I don't know. They probably aren't going to take our case up, but you just kind of keep the faith. Funny story is, you know, the cases come down from the Supreme Court on Friday. So normally you get them like Friday mid-morning. And on a Monday, I was had been meeting with my colleagues, AG colleagues, and I was flying back home. My wonderful chief of staff, Michelle Williams, called me and she said, we got the case. They took up our case. I said, on a Monday, you know, so it was very, you know, we knew from the beginning,
it was unusual.
Different. Yes.
This was going to be unusual.
Wow. I always tell people that, you know, when that happened, I was in the airport and I always remind people, look good in the airport because you never know when you're going to be on all the screens when that case came down.
Isn't that true? Oh, wow. Well, let's talk about some of the challenges presented in this case. You were just talking about it, what, 22 times you said this was coming back and forth. So it was already on this long journey. Now it's happening. People never ever thought, really. I mean, we were all praying that Roe v. Wade would be overturned, but I think a lot of us just thought it was kind of out of the gate and maybe never overturnable, I guess would be the term. So what were some of the challenges presented in this case that you had to overcome in your team?
Well, we immediately sat down and we put together a strategic plan. Mm-hmm. So this case was like no other case. I mean, a strategic plan all the way through what we would do, what we do with our partners, again, our faith-based communities, how would it impact different organizations? So we had an immediate, large strategic plan that involved everyone. And we certainly asked for the prayers, the lifting up. That made all the difference in the world. We couldn't have done what we did had we not had people praying for us right. all across the country. But the strategic plan, we were very deliberate about it. You know, we had an amicus brief part. We had an outreach part. We had a part that would reach to what we thought would be our known viewers immediately. So every facet we tried to think about, we had people that worked with us on different research areas. But you know what? People said, well, the challenge is you're just the small firm there, Attorney General's office in Mississippi. You probably can't handle this case. I said, are you kidding? You should see my team. Absolutely.
Yeah, don't ever say that to you or to any other mamas because like, yeah, right. We can handle this. Don't worry about it.
Well, and you're right, Gabe. To that, immediately we went, okay, we can do this. We're ready. And, you know, so we all certainly were engaged in preparation. Scott was the primary brief writer to get us ready for the case. That case was looked at over 50 times revised. And as you just said, the hard question no one had ever asked was, will you overturn Roe v. Wade? Mm-hmm. Everybody just did to whatever their statute was. We said, we're going to ask. Mm-hmm. All they can do is tell us no. But we're going to ask, and then we're going to say we're ready for the job. Return it to the states. Let the people decide, as that's how it should be. Mm-hmm. But we're going to ask the hard question that no one's asked. And so we did. We posted it up. We, you know, had certainly high expectations. Our brief was beautifully written. And again, written with legal terms, but also with compassion and really the relevance. We wanted people to read the brief and understand what we were talking about and where we were going and what our request was of the court. And we felt like we delivered on every level. Again, Scott leading that team. And then at parallel, we're doing all the things that we should have been doing. Outreach. We had, 76 amicus briefs written in support of the Mississippi Dobbs case. Again, mm-hmm. continuing to have the conversation out into different groups. Just like with y'all, I mean, that made a huge difference getting the information out there. We knew we had to be ready. We knew we had to be prepared. Scott argued the case. I was in there with him, but he went through 8 moots. You know, that's a lot of moots to get ready for an argument. I mean, normally you might do 2 or 3, but they were not just right, moots here.
We don't know
Jackson,
any of this. This is all behind the scenes stuff. We don't know any of this. We just know that, you took it on and it was successful, but all of these challenges and, everything that had to be done had to just be incredible and had to be just done perfectly. Because they would have caught you with anything that they could dismiss, right? They would have just taken that up as a cause for the other side.
You're right. So we really had to be very prepared on every detail. And again, the team, we had a written plan. We worked it every day. We determined how we would move forward. We were very engaged and we had a whole thing. Remember, we did empower women and promote life. Mm. Never been argued together that you could do both. And so that was the theme through our brief. It was the theme through all of our outreach. Everything that we moved forward on, even to as we designated the Dobbs blue because we had a color. And as we did our outreach, we were very engaged in that. And as we got ready, we filed our brief, they filed theirs. As we got ready for oral argument, we were still a little bit of the COVID, might be oral argument, might be a conference call. But luckily, it ended up being a true oral argument on December the 1st. And as we got ready for that, we had an incredible rally that day. There were thousands and thousands of people there, all types of different mothers there, all different, Republicans, Democrats, atheists. We had doctors. We had lawyers. We had legislators. We had moms who stood up. They stood there on the day, all the moms, and said, we can empower women and promote life.
I love that. Empower women, promote life. Why we think it has to be one or the other, where they work in tandem. Life is women. That's what we do best, is we carry life, provide life, take care of life. That's our gift.
And so just to see all moms rally together. That's great. I mean, again, thank you for all that y'all do. Again, it is mom standing so strong. And that was certainly a pinnacle of that day, because there were 36 women speakers that were moms. And so that said, moms are uniting and being strong behind this. And, to stand there and to see the thousands of people that showed up. I mean, the street was closed in front of the court, and thousands of people spilling there being supportive of the Mississippi Dobbs case.
So now, You've got all this momentum, you're arguing it. I mean, there must have been a lot of some backlash too. It was a little nerve wracking. Was there a lot of hate happening, or does the media play that up and that really wasn't a part of this?
Certainly we had that part, because they're very loud and very noisy from the fear mongering part. We just always have stayed positive, because even all the way throughout, we said, give us the opportunity. And we'll be ready for the job. And so we just stayed focused on what will we do next if we get the decision. And after we had the oral argument, and this is just one of those God puts where you're supposed to be at the right time at the right places. Scott Stewart, the Solicitor General, made the argument. He had also clerked for Justice Thomas. And so it was just an incredible moment. I did feel like a proud mom when Justice Thomas said, General Stewart, because I thought here he had clerked, and what an incredible moment in time.
Wow. Well, tell us about the decision. Tell us what happened that day. What was that like for you and your team? I mean, for everyone around the country, it was amazing. But to be there fighting and championing life. Wow. It must have been incredible for you and your team.
Oh, you're so exactly right. It was what a monumental time for all of us, for the team, for the country. You know, when we argued, we went back into strategic plan mode again between now and the decision that might come out. So we were trying to be prepared. And as we told everyone, we need to be a gracious respondents no matter what. Again, we're still always going to talk about empowering women. We're still going to be talking about promoting life, but we needed to have a response ready and be prepared either way. And then, you know, that horrific leak happened, which should have never happened. Never thought we'd see that in our lifetime, that a Supreme Court decision would be leaked. And we all knew that it was trying to be leaked for a variety of reasons.
Right.
But it did show to all of us, hey, if this comes down like this, we're all going to be so thankful. So, but
had you ever seen that? Was so that there's nothing historical ever a leak like that. I just did want to mention that too. I have that on my notes here. Tell us about, I mean, the agenda behind that, the shock of that, because there's never been, that is not supposed to happen, clearly.
You're exactly right. We've never seen that happen in our lifetime, that you'd have this institute of this United States Supreme Court and that a leak would occur. Certainly, we feel like, and there's never been divulged to or individuals or group that might have leaked it. But you certainly can see from just looking at it that they were using that leak to hopefully influence to change some votes and some minds.
Right.
Thankfully, prayerfully, it did not.
Yeah.
And that June 24th came about. An incredible day of rejoicing to see that we had gotten to that point through the Mississippi Dobbs case and the certainly the impact that it would have on all of us moving forward.
Congratulations again. Let's talk about the impact that has made. I always want to refresh everyone a little bit because sometimes moms understand some of it, but not all of it. A lot of our moms are so busy raising, you know, their children, they're not up to speed on everything. So because of this ruling, explain that real simply for the moms, what happened and what didn't happen. I think there's been confusion on what happened and what didn't happen because everyone, you know, sometimes think we completely outlawed, we did this. No, we brought it back to the states. I'd like you to explain it because you'll just do it better.
Oh, well, I don't know about that. That was a great explanation, but that's exactly what we asked for. In our brief, in our oral argument, we requested that this be returned to the states. That the states, the people should always have the ability to make those very important policy decisions. And here abortion is the one at hand and it should be given to the people in each respective state. And so that was our request. Give it to the states. That's where it should rest and allow every state to make their decision. And we knew going in, it would be different in every state. I mean, that's democracy. And so that was our request. And then certainly the court saw fit to do just that and return it to the states. And as we've seen in the last year and a half, every state has responded a little differently.
Right.
But again, that's the option. And, you know, people say, well, what do we do about that? Well, if you don't like what your state's doing, you need to have conversation with your legislators. They are the ones that are your voice. And if you put them there, you need to have the conversation. What would you like to do? How would you like it done differently in your states?
Right. And especially as now we're looking at election year, elections have consequences. And we all really need to understand. I mean, I'm in Illinois. This didn't change anything for Illinois. But in other states, it really did make a great change. And again, it's back to the states where we can control issues and we can speak into issues and we can elect legislators that are pro-life or constitutional or all that. And again, it just comes back to us being involved locally. Right, attorney?
It does. And we need to have everybody involved.
Yeah.
The voices are the voices of the moms. And
that's right.
We need people to step up, to moms to say, this is what's important to me, or have a better understanding what legislation is going on right now in each respective state. How do you play a part in that? How are you involved in your local government and then in your state government? And I think that's where moms are so good at that. We need to continue to be the driving force on so many of those areas.
Let's talk about now, fast forward, because what's so amazing about you, your team, and really so many life-driven organizations, and all of us, really, we don't want to say no to abortion. We want to say yes to life. And then when we say yes to life, we're saying yes to adoption and providing support and help. And you there in Mississippi is doing just such an amazing rollout of MAMA, right? M-A-M-A?
Yes.
Love that.
Thank you. I want to share with everybody. You know, when the decision came down, we immediately said, we're going to move forward. And so we did another strategic plan, and we call ours the Empowerment Project. And so to give you a little history of that, that's how we get to the MAMA program. The Empowerment Project, we had five big pillars. And in those pillars, we said, first, we need to look at having affordable, quality, accessible childcare. And we also then next need to look at workplace flexibility options for young parents, for mothers. COVID was terrible, but at the same time, it gave us some opportunities to change up our scheduling. And we all know if we don't provide some flexibilities, we lose those young mothers out of the workforce. And we want to keep them in the workforce. Then another pillar was child support. We needed to get child support to these children. And we needed to lift some of that financial burden from the mothers, who are primarily the custodial parents who are carrying the financial hardships. Mm-hmm. Next, we wanted to continue to help our pregnancy resource centers any way that we possibly could. And then lastly, the big pillar was, how do we restructure the broken foster care and adoption systems? Mm-hmm. So
foundational, big lifts. Yes.
But we weren't having those conversations before. So after the Dobbs decision, now we're out there. We're now talking about it. And then now we're taking action. Hence how we get to the MAMA. So we took the Empowerment Project to our legislators. They were great. I'm so appreciative of the work they did the last session. And we said, here's what we said we do. We said we were ready for the job. Here's what we need to do. We got additional tax credits for adoption. We got a foster parents' bill of rights. We got postpartum change from 2 months to 12 months. We got the beginning of new streamlining of the adoption and foster care system, and then the MAMA program. And how exciting. So we said, you know what? Here's what happens. These moms-to-be or these young moms, they don't know where to go.
Sure.
So
they need assistance. They need help. If we're going to ask them carry that baby and be a mama, how can we help them? And that's a lot of, like you said, the discussion hasn't been happening. It's there's like one option, and that's abortion. But no, there's the, when we talk about life, we've got to bring support. I love what you did. I love your thought process. Amazing.
Thank you. Well, the MAMA program has been incredible. So Mississippi Access to Maternal Assistance is the MAMA program. And we have a website, and we went live with an app on your phones on in January. The website came up in October. And so it's great. It's accessible. You can go to different areas of the state. You can punch in and you can see, okay, the area I live in, here are the resources. I can hit food, childcare, adoption. You can hit all the big target areas that you might need assistance. And we didn't create new programs. We took all of them and wrapped them together. Our public programs that are out there, our private programs, and then our faith-based community programs. It's so been important. Amazing. So since October, we've had 9,000 hits.
Wonderful. So congratulations.
It's working.
And is adoption up? What are some of the stats now that you see in your state?
So we are working. So we started the process on changing some things last legislative session. The legislature's in session again right now. We are working very diligently with them to streamline the process, to get these children into forever homes quicker, to foster care system, to change the dynamics there, to help these foster parents be ready, prepared, and get more foster parents. So,
yes.
You know, we know right now we have about 4,000 children that are wards of the state. We're working to, again, rectify that, streamline it, help these children, help these forever home parents. So we're excited. We're making a lot of great progress. The legislature is working on some changes right now on both of those fronts, and that's very exciting.
That is so exciting. General, I'd love for you just to talk to our moms that are listening. By the way, this looks like model, it's not legislation, but model programs for all across the country. What you're doing there is what other states need to be looking at. And we need to champion what you, right? If something's working, let's take it across the country. So yes, and amen to what you're doing there. But I would love for you to just talk about how speaking hope and speaking life and changing the message out there. There is so much beauty and hope for families and moms that we have to be a part of changing the discussion. and offering solutions.
Thank you. You're exactly right. We have got to talk about the hope, the journey, and that how there's support out there, which really goes back to the ultimate theme, which was, how do you empower women? Mm-hmm. What do we do? How do we help them with their jobs? How do we help them if they need resources? Again, providing that input that they hadn't had in the past, knowing that there is hope, that there's hope for their children and for us to keep a strong family unit. That was key to all the things that we put together. Even to the point where we brought forward, and it's passed, and we've now had a number of implementations of safe haven baby boxes for those mothers that weren't ready, but they needed a place where they could, you know, give hope to their child and have that continuation of life. So we now have a number of baby boxes that have gone up around our state. So looking at every angle that we could do that. But for moms, absolutely. This is a strong message that, hey, there are people all across the country in each respective state that want to help you, that want to be there for you, that understand that there are trials and tribulations and there are challenges, and that we're actually there to help you, not to just talk about it, but to really give you hope and then empower you to your next step.
Yeah. And along with our government and our states, those faith-based nonprofit organizations, this is their ministry, and they are there on a regular basis in those neighborhoods and in those states, really providing hope for moms that are in a crisis pregnancy and helping with adoption and helping the discussion of life. So there is such goodness out there. We just have to go find it.
And people really want to give. It's just channeling how they can give, how they can be a part of supporting women, supporting these children. And that's been another outreach for us as we, you know, after the decision, how we've been able to do that with our partners. And the partnerships are so strong, and people really do want to give and help.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what to say, except I can understand why you were honored with Time Magazine. And to your team and to everyone there, thank you for being an incredible voice for all Americans, born and unborn, because this is where we have to go. We have to respect life.
We absolutely do. And we feel like anything that we are doing, that we want to share best practices, how we can all continue to stand strong together.
Well, thank you so much. We so appreciate your time. I know how busy you are. God bless you, and God bless what you're doing there in Mississippi. And we're going to take this across the country. We're going to make these changes state by state, community by community, and home by home.
Absolutely. Empowering those women, everyone, and those promoting life, it can all be done together. Thank you for all that you do in the organization. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
It's just been an honor to be with you today.
Yes.
To talk about these exciting things that are on the horizon.
That's it. Well, give your grandbabies a super hug for us. And hopefully one day we'll get a chance to see you in person, attorney. We so appreciate you. God bless.
That'll be great. Thank you. God bless you too. Thank you so much.
Amazing interview with Attorney General Fitch. Wow. What a tough job she had. But boy, do we admire her and her team for championing life, being so clear, and just what a job well done on the life issue. And then also for championing hope and alternatives and providing resources for moms with unplanned pregnancy. This is what we have to be doing all across the country, championing life and providing resources and help. So we're praying for those moms too. Also, I do want to remind you that Moms for America is here to help you make a difference in a variety of ways, not just here on the podcast, but we have webinars, we have seminars, we have information truly on every subject that you can imagine, because really every issue is a mom issue. So I do want to ask you to join us, join the movement, like I mentioned earlier, momsforamerica.us, sign up for our weekly newsletter, fill out the form if you have any questions, any needs that we can help you with. We also have our signature program that you'll find on our website. Moms absolutely love these. They're 12 lessons. They're called the Cottage Meetings. They will inspire and educate you about America's amazing heritage, so that you can share those principles of liberty right there in your home with your children and also in your community. This program, along with many of our other programs, and when I tell you other programs, I mean a lot of them, we help you impact your family in a very powerful way. We always say, from parental rights to public policy, from the kitchen table to the boardroom, Moms for America is here to help you with all of those issues in our culture. So we say this every week, moms, we believe that liberty begins at home and that you, mamas, you are truly the heartbeat of America. That's why you and your role is so incredibly special. So I do want to invite you to share this podcast with your friends. And then I also want to invite you to join us next week for another inspiring, informative discussion. Wow. Thanks again, Lynn, for joining us. But moms just like her that are making a difference all across the country. And like I always say every week, let's keep changing our world one home at a time. That's what we do best, moms. Talk to you soon.